This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 6, Book 71, entitled Father Barber Predicts the Worst. All the barbers are at the Sky Ranch for the summer, except for Pinky working in a lumber camp, Joan working at the airfield with Paul, and at the moment, Father Barber, who came down to have his bones x-rayed by Dr. Thompson after he fell off Skippy's new motor scooter. And now, here's Clifford and his 11-year-old son, Skippy, Andy, that is, also back from the Sky Ranch for a day at the beach with Roberta Evans. The boy, jealous of his father's interest in the lovely Miss Evans, hadn't been exactly cordial, and Clifford, an amateur child psychologist, if there ever was one, conceived the idea of bringing them together on a picnic. Now it's 8 o'clock in the evening. Cliff and the boy have returned to the family home at Seacliff, and Cliff, less buoyant than usual, has just joined Paul and Father Barber on the terrace.
Yeah, we had quite a day. Where's Joan this evening?
Having dinner with a girlfriend. Come on, sit down.
Thanks. Are you looking down your nose, Dad?
Huh?
I said, are you...
I heard you. Joan's girlfriend has the improbable name of Mary Smith, if you must know. No one has ever met her. We don't even know where she lives.
Okay, Dad, have it your way. How'd the picnic go, Cliff? I want to hear all about it.
Some picnic. Started off well enough. Roberta had fried chicken.
If I'm responsible for a young girl Joan's age, and goodness knows that's a responsibility, I check up on it when she steps out with a girl named Mary Smith. Suppose there's no such person as Mary Smith, huh? Suppose Mary Smith turns out to be that greasy young man...
You mean grease monkey, Dad.
What a name for a human being. Paul is taking frightful chances this summer, Clifford. I wouldn't give Joan her head for 5 minutes.
Nicky and Claudia tried restraints, Dad, and that didn't work.
She's headstrong and willful, like Claudia at the same age. I kept a sharp rein on Claudia. We had to.
And she eloped with Johnny Roberts right under your nose.
She might have done worse.
Of course, Dad. Please, now, I want to hear about the picnic.
Yes. I can't have an easy moment with Joan out at night with people like Mary Smith.
Are you warm enough, Dad?
Huh?
Don't you think you'd better get a sweater?
Paul, I know whether I'm warm or cold. I'll get a sweater when I need one. Mary Smith. As soon as I heard the name, I knew Joan was dissembling. It's the sort of name you'll make up... It's the first name that occurs to you when you...
Hey, Dad, I think you should get it.
It's just an allergy.
Hey, Dad, may I come down and say goodnight?
Skippy?
Yeah, but where is he?
Sun porch window upstairs.
Oh, sure, come on. Oh, hey, Andy.
Yes, Dad?
Bring a jacket for your grandfather on the way.
Okay.
I'd have gone back to the Sky Ranch this morning, except that at breakfast, where Joan said she was having dinner with an improbable Mary Smith, I knew I'd worry about it until she was safe at home again. I don't like having the family scattered some here and some at the Sky Ranch. I like to have everybody in one place so I know what's happening.
I'll get it.
If it's for me, that cord will reach out here, Skippy.
Okay. Only my real name is Andy.
I'm sorry. I'll try to remember.
Here's your jacket, Grandfather.
Oh, hey, fella. Don't throw it. Here you are, Dad.
That isn't my jacket at all. I couldn't begin to get into it. It's your...
Well, put it around your shoulder.
It's for you, Uncle Paul.
Who is it?
He didn't say.
Oh, here, son. Snuggle down here. You warm enough in that robe?
Sure, Dad. It's heavy.
Hello.
See my new robe, Grandfather?
Huh? Hey, hold it, fella.
This is Paul Barber. Who is this, please? Arthur? Oh, yes, Ken. It's the grease monkey, Ken Arthur's dad. Ken, Joan isn't here. She's having dinner with...
Mary Smith.
With a girl named Mary Smith. Do you know Mary? Oh, you do, huh? Oh, works in transportation.
Transportation, indeed.
I see. Yes, they're having dinner together, but she should be along any time. What's that? You pick her up at Mary? Oh, good enough. Well, fine. Not too late, eh? Yeah, you satisfied, Dad? She wasn't with Ken, and there is a girl named Mary Smith. She works at the airport.
Well, this jacket won't do it all. I'll go get my own. Grease monkey. Mary Smith. I still have my own opinion.
Paul, he acts terribly unreasonable sometimes.
Oh, he's all right, Cliff. Caught a little cold this morning, won't admit it. Well, stand up, Andy, and let me look at you, huh?
Grandfather wouldn't admit he was hurt when he fell off my motor scooter, either.
Hey, your grandfather's a man with a hot, fierce pride. Never underestimate him. He's as sound as a dollar. Here, turn around. Hey, you're pretty snappy.
My dad bought me a new robe and new pajamas and a lot of new clothes.
Yeah, very smart. Got a little sunburn, too, didn't you?
Yeah. I'd rather stay at Sky Ranch and ride my scooter than go to any old beach picnics. See, these are new slippers, too. Woolly bedroom slippers. See?
Mmm, handsome.
Dad, are we going to read a chapter from Treasure Island?
Oh, tonight?
Well, aren't we?
Sure, I'll be right up.
King, I'll go up and get ready.
That's an idea.
Don't be too long. Night, Uncle Paul.
Night, Andy.
See you in a little while, Dad.
Okay, Andy. Well, I'd better get up and start looking for Treasure Island. Hmm. I suppose we still have a copy around someplace.
Oh, I think so. I'll come in with you. Oh, I better bring the phone along.
You know, Paul, Andy talked a mile a minute all the way down here this morning. Go ahead, Paul. He starved for exactly the sort of relationship we've got now. I hope we can keep it.
Hmm. We might as well look here in the library first.
Yeah, sounds logical. No kidding, Paul. It was pretty revealing talk. I found out plenty about the missing 11 years.
I can imagine juvenile books are on that upper shelf. Mom's got them all arranged.
Might be there, except Treasure Island really belongs to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Just what sort of revelations did Skippy make?
All sorts of things. How I acted, what I did and didn't do.
Well, just remember, when you listen to Skippy, you're seeing those last years through the eyes of a child.
Hmm? What's that mean?
If Skip comes to you with a story today, you'll listen to it with reservations, knowing the tendency of an 11-year-old to exaggerate.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, so it'll be with anything out of the past, a little garbled and twisted to meet the limitations of an immature mind.
Well, all I know is I've got 11 years to make up, and I'm going to get at it.
Mm. The picnic wasn't a smash hit, I gather.
It didn't go the way I thought it would. Oh, Roberta was swell, gay, friendly. Had the sort of a lunch a boy ought to like. Brought him a little sailboat, which he left down at the beach, deliberately. No, it was a bust. Just lousy, Paul.
What did the boy do?
Nothing, just sat. Gave us yes and no and uh-huh, maybe. And, oh, here we are. Oliver Twist, Huckleberry Finn, The Wind in the Willows.
You mean he wouldn't talk to Roberta?
Oh, he didn't mean to be rude, Paul. He just froze up, that's all.
Oh, that's too bad.
On the way down, I told him, I said, Roberta was a close friend of mine. I made it clear I hadn't any immediate plans for getting married, but, well, I said she was important to me and that I wanted my son to be friends with her.
He went over his head, maybe.
Well, something went sour. It was a complete 100% bust.
What are you going to do about it?
What do you think? What can I do? I've ignored my son for 11 years. It's his turn now. Besides, he's a swell kid. Isn't he?
He's a good boy, Clint.
You bet your life he is. I had to get a knock on the head to see it, but he's an elegant kid. Oh, here we are. Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Have you talked this over with Roberta?
Oh, we skirted around it. I'll have to lay it on the line, I guess.
Why don't you just let it cook a while?
That isn't fair to her.
Nonsense. If you're the man she wants, you wait. If I can help...
Oh, no, you don't. You've got Joan on your hands. I'm not going to load you down with my problems, too.
Oh, I thrive on them. You'd let me help, wouldn't you?
If you get some blazing inspiration, sure.
Okay, just keep your shirt on. I don't promise a blazing inspiration, but there's something to do. Joan and I are coming up to the ranch tomorrow. Oh, just a moment. Yes? Joan? Oh, yes. You're where? I'm married. Uh-huh. Well, all right, Joan. How late will you and Ken be? Huh? I was just telling Cliff we'd come to the ranch over the weekend. We might leave here rather early. Mm-hmm. Well, Joan, you're your own boss, you know. Hmm. You got your key? Thanks for calling me about it. I'll see you later.
Trouble?
I hope not, Cliff. But if I didn't have considerable faith... Oh, well, I have.
It is trouble, huh?
Actually not, but Dad's uneasy about Joan. Maybe that's upset me.
Well, when did this Ken Arthur turn up, anyhow?
Yeah, I'm not going to load you down with my qualms. You've got your own. You having breakfast with us in the morning?
No, I think we'll dig out of here for the Sky Ranch at the crack of dawn.
Well, I'll get the lights and go upstairs with you. Cliff, walk gently with Roberta for a little, huh? She's good for you.
She'd be good for anybody. But you can't carry water on both shoulders.
Who says you can? Everybody does it all the time. Some people manage to balance a bucket on top of their heads.
Hey, Dad, I'm ready to listen.
And I'm ready to read, Andy. I'll be right there. Hi, Paul.
Night.
Good night, Clifford. I'm here. I'm in bed.
Good night, Dad. We'll be leaving early in the morning. Are you coming up to the Sky Ranch with us?
I don't think so, Clifford.
I've got this allergy, and your mother would put me in bed with a hot mustard plaster. I'll stay here until I get over it. Shut my door there, will you?
Night. Well, here I come, fella. And you're going to hear one of the finest books a boy ever read.
Yeah, finally.
That's right, finally. Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, Chapter 1. And just one chapter tonight, because we're getting up with the birds tomorrow morning. I guess we're all set, Andy. Oh, boy, 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we're sure gonna get an early start. It's still dark out.
Yeah, but it'll be nice driving. We'll get up there in time to have breakfast in the patio beside the swimming pool.
I like it way early like this, after I'm off.
You hungry?
Not now, but I will be.
Oh, me too. Now, let's see. Got everything?
I got all my stuff.
We've made our beds and picked up our dirty clothes.
I got my toothbrush and pajamas.
Okay, then. Oh, let's be quiet when we get out in the hall so we won't wake your grandfather.
Sure.
Come on. Go ahead.
Hey, Dad. There's a light on in Grandfather's room.
Well, I wonder if he really is sick. I better take a peek in. Why, Dad, what are you doing awake so early?
Come in, Clifford. Come in.
What's the matter? That cold bothering you?
No. Been wakeful all night. Oh, morning, young man.
Morning, Grandfather.
Well, we're starting for the Sky Ranch. We were trying to go out without waking you, and then Andy here saw the light under your door.
Yes. Been awake most of the night. Seems to me I've heard somebody going up and down this hall off and on since 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it wasn't Skippy or me. We slept right through.
Yeah. Maybe it was Joan.
Yeah, Dad probably was. She might have been out kind of late.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. I don't know what Paul can be thinking of, letting that girl run around the way he does, getting in at all hours.
Oh, Dad, Paul knows what he's doing.
I doubt that. Paul's too easy on her, and I think she's pulling the wool over his eyes.
Well, it's too early in the morning to argue. Why don't you turn out your light and try to get some sleep? Skippy and I have to get started. Oh, could I make you a cup of coffee before
you go? No, you run along. No, hand me my robe there, please.
I'll get it.
You're not going to get up, are you?
I'm going up to the third floor and see if everything is all right up there.
Paul and Joan are probably still asleep.
Well, it won't hurt to look in on their rooms. I swear I heard somebody going up and down this hall all night.
Do you want me to go up and see?
No, you get on your way. I probably won't go up after all. I've been wanting to investigate what's been going on all night, but I restrained myself. I can wait a little longer. Paul has made it very clear that he wants to handle this in his own way.
Yeah, I do think if he had any trouble last night, it'd be wiser to let him handle it alone.
Has Joan done something, Dad?
Oh, of course not. Your grandfather's a little upset.
And don't you say anything about this when you get up to the Sky Ranch.
That's right, Andy. This is none of our business, and it might bother your Uncle Nick and Aunt Claudia. Understand?
Sure. I won't say anything.
You sure you don't?
Well, we'll shove off. You'll be driving up with Paul and Joan later, I suppose?
Yes. I'll walk out to the hall with you.
Come on, Skip. We got to hit the road.
Yeah. Back to my good old motor scooter.
We'll be seeing at the Sky Ranch, Dad. So long.
Bye, Grandfather.
Goodbye. Go up to that studio and see if everything's all right. I can't understand why anybody would want to be stuck off way up in an attic like this.
All right.
House.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Paul?
Yes? Come in, Dad.
Well, are you up and dressed already? Well, what's the matter, Paul? You look distraught.
I've had a rough night, Dad.
Joan?
Yeah.
Where is she?
I don't know.
You don't know? You mean she didn't come home last night?
No.
Good grief. I told you this would happen. I knew that girl was up to no good. I warned...
Just a minute now. You don't know anything about it.
What more do I have to know? You say she didn't come home. She was out with that grease monkey, wasn't she?
As far as I know, yes. Ken Arthur.
Well?
Well, what? So you're jumping to the conclusion that she's done something wrong, is that it?
I'm not jumping to any conclusions at all. The facts speak for themselves. She went out with this boy and you haven't heard from her all night, isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, it's happened that just as I predicted it would happen. You take this girl in hand, a willful, headstrong girl who needs the strong reins of her parents, and now she's in a mess.
How do you know she's in a mess? I think something's happened, making it impossible for her to get in touch with me.
Have you called this Ken boy's home?
Yes. Mother said he hadn't come home. No word from him either.
And the blame falls directly on you. A girl of Joan's age out all night.
And the only thing that comes to your mind is that she's done something to be ashamed of. Is that it?
It hasn't entered your mind, I suppose.
No, it hasn't. I believe in that girl completely, and I'm going to continue to believe in her until I find good, solid proof that she isn't worthy of my confidence.
Very well, Paul, but you've got her parents to answer to. You must know that.
I've already called Nikki at the Sky Ranch. She and Claudia are coming down.
What did you tell them?
I told them the truth, that Joan hasn't come home. But I also told them what I told you, that I'm positive we'll find this has happened because of something over which Joan had no control.
Huh? An accident?
Well, that's my greatest concern. I've checked with Lieutenant Greer down at police headquarters, and so far we found nothing at any of the emergency hospitals around the bay. He's checking the emergencies down the peninsula and over in Marin County for me.
Were you talking to him when I came in?
No, I've been trying to get the phone number of that Mary Smith.
Yeah, Mary Smith.
Yeah. Ken picked Joan up over at her house, the way I understood it.
Did you get her number?
There are a million Smiths in the phone book.
Well, don't they have her number at the airport where she works?
Dad, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. The girl at the switchboard didn't have it, and the transportation office isn't open till late. They're going to call me as soon as the Smith girl comes in.
Yeah, she might have been out all night, too.
Well, was this after... Hello. Yeah. Oh, yes, Lieutenant. Yes, I see.
What is it for?
Dad, please, Dad. What was that again, Lieutenant? Ah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll be right down. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Is that the police station?
Yes, Dan.
Is he in jail?
I haven't time to talk now, Dan. I've got to get out of here.
Is anything wrong? What's it about?
All I can say is I don't know anything more than I did, but this call may lead to something.
But Claudia and Nicholas will be here. They want to know.
I'll call here the very moment I have anything definite. Tell them to wait here till they hear from me.
Tell me this before you leave. Was this phone call good news or bad?
I don't know. It could be either. That's what I'm going to find out now.
Meanwhile, we pick up Clifford and Skippy just about at the end of their 40-mile skyline ride through the first bleary, fog-drenched light of a San Francisco dawn.
I like mountains better than the beach, don't you, Dan?
No. Mm-hmm.
I guess Miss Evans thought I was pretty young. Anybody old enough to have a motor scooter is too old to play with sailboats.
Oh, is that so?
Women don't know much about boys.
She wanted to be friends with you, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Say, Dad.
Yeah?
I'd like to try yesterday all over again.
How do you mean, Phil?
Oh, it was kind of hard to talk much yesterday. I don't know. It was just kind of hard to talk.
You like Miss Evans?
That was pretty good fried chicken she cut. Say, are you getting hungry?
Oh, you're a good boy, Andy.
Huh? What do you mean?
We'll get along all right, you and I. I can like the girl and you can like her fried chicken. We'll get along.
You're laughing at me.
No, I'm not, Andy. We'll have another date with Roberta. Take her to a show or something. How about that?
Yeah, a show would be better, Dan. Then I wouldn't have to think of stuff to talk about. Hey, don't you want to stop at the Sky Ranch mailbox?
This early?
Maybe they didn't pick the mail up yesterday afternoon.
I bet they did, but we'll see.
I'll get it. Yeah, look, lots of it.
Hey, you dropped a couple.
Lots of letters again. Oh, boy. Bill's for Uncle Nicky.
Your poor uncle's still paying for the improvements on the ranch. All right, come on, get in.
Is Uncle Nicky rich?
Now, that's a question that a polite kid doesn't ask.
Oh, well, he's probably rich. Hey, here's a letter from Pinky.
Pinky's going to be quite a correspondent. Who's that one to?
To Mr. Daniel Murray, Esquire. Here's a business letter for Uncle Jack.
Well, there he is on the porch. Hiya, Jackson.
Hi, Cliff. Hi there, Skippy. Did you get the mail?
Just got it. Where is everybody?
Most people are still in the hay. After all, it's only 7:15.
What'd you do? Get up with the chickens?
I'm hungry. When do we eat?
A good question. I'm waiting for Dan and Hazel. We're going to have a dip in the pool and then breakfast. Hey, anything for me?
One letter from Time Magazine.
Oh, goody. That all?
That's all for you. There's lots for other people.
Well, Skip, you deliver the mail and I'll put the car.
Okay.
Cliff, Paul just phoned. He won't be out this weekend.
Oh?
Something came up at the airport. Didn't say what.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Andy?
Shall I deliver the mail on my motor scooter?
I think you'll do it faster on foot. Well, get at it, fella. See you in a minute, Jack.
Mailman, here comes the mailman. Oh, Uncle Jack.
Yes, Andy?
Where's Uncle Dan?
In his room, I think.
Okay. Mailman, here comes the mailman. Special delivery letters. Special delivery.
Yes, who is it?
Mail for Daniel Murray, Esquire. Mailman.
Oh, you and Clifford back so early. He's in here, Andy.
Andy?
Andy, I mean. What have you got?
It's from Pinky.
Wonderful. Your Uncle Dan's putting up a mirror for me. Come on in.
No, thanks. I'm in a hurry to get my good old motor scooter. Mailman, special delivery letters. Mailman.
Dan.
Yeah, how's this mirror now?
Dan, it's from Pinky.
Good, good. This mirror straight?
Look, in the left-hand corner. William Herbert Murray, second assistant cook, Wilderness Lumber Company, Camp 4. Oh, Dan.
Oh, he's having the time of his life. Don't worry about him. Say, how about this mirror?
Left side.
Up or down?
Huh? Oh, down a little. There. Now come and read it.
Wait till I wash my hands.
I wonder if we couldn't get Pinky on the telephone.
Why?
Oh, Dan, I'd feel much better about him if I could phone him once a week or so.
Hazel, the boy wanted to spend the summer on his own. Let him take it the way it comes.
I know, but he's homesick.
That's good for him. I think everybody's writing him too often. Let him get homesick. It'll toughen him up. You see, my dear, you'll undo the whole thing if you go soft on me now. A rough, hard, homesick summer will do that boy more good than anything that ever happened to him.
It's addressed to you. I opened it. Do you mind?
Oh, go ahead. Oh, wait till I stick my head out the window and call down to Jack.
Hey, Jack. Hey, down there.
Hi, Dan. You ready?
Yeah, we got a Duncan paraphernalia on. We'll be down in a minute.
No rush.
We'll read our letter and then be right down.
It's a deal.
Here it is now, Dan. Read it.
Good. Dear Dan.
Well? Well, Dan, is it bad news? What is it?
Listen to this. Dear Dan, have you got a good big picture of you and Mom I could tack up over my army cot here in the bunkhouse?
Oh.
I've been away so long, I'm beginning to forget what everybody looks like, and I sure don't want to forget you and Mom.
Dan, that's awful.
The cook has quit speaking to me since he accidentally bumped into me with a pan of scrambled eggs 2 days ago. And the men just call me kid and don't talk to me much either. What I need now is a big picture of you both.
Dan, we haven't one.
Hmm? No, he says, I dream about the Sky Ranch all night, but when I wake up in the morning, it seems a million miles away, and I can't even remember what the swimming pool looks like. I want a picture with both of you in it, and please send it airmail.
Is that all?
Love to you both from Pinky.
What are we going to do?
Poor kid. That's touching, you know.
But what are we going to do, Dan? We haven't a good picture.
I know.
We could have one taken in Redwood City. It's Saturday. We could have it done this morning.
Now, wait, Hazel.
Oh, Dan, we can't ignore a request like that.
Well, look, will you keep it dark, Hazel? Will you not tell anybody about it?
Oh, yes, Dan, I promise.
Imagine him wanting a picture of me.
Oh, Jack! Jack!
Hi, when you coming?
You go ahead without us, Jack. Something's come up. We've got to have breakfast and drive into Redwood City.
Hey, that's too bad. Sky Ranch is going to be practically deserted today now that Dickie and Claudia have to meet Paul in the city.
Oh, what a trip into town.
They've left the door open, fellas. Go ahead, Claudia.
Hurry,
yes, Dad.
I'm in here, in the library.
Coming, sir.
We practically flew down from the Sky Ranch. No word from Joan?
Nothing.
Oh, dear.
Charles.
Where's Paul?
He's gone out. He said for you to wait here until we heard from him.
Something about Joan?
I assume so.
Paul didn't tell us a great deal on the telephone, other than to say that she went out with his Ken lad and hadn't come home.
That's about all the information we have.
Where's Paul
I
going?
I don't know. He didn't want to tell me, apparently. He got a call from someone he called Lieutenant, so I presumed it must have been the police.
Police? What could that mean?
What does the whole thing mean? That's what I'd like to know. I hope this will teach Paul a lesson not to meddle in other people's affairs.
Well, that's being a bit hard on him, isn't it? We haven't felt he's been meddling, Father Barber.
He took Joan without full consent.
And it was very foolish of you to give it. What has taken place is eloquent proof of that.
This is no time to begin fixing blame. The important thing is to find out about Joan. There must be something we could do. It's horrible to be just sitting here.
Take it easy, my dear. No point in letting ourselves get overwrought.
This being gone all night could only mean an accident.
You think so?
Well, see here, of course.
Isn't that what Paul thinks has happened?
Paul said he had checked with the emergency hospitals.
Yes, I'm sure Paul's doing everything he can, but what I meant
was... It's all right, old girl. The boy hasn't shown up at home, either, Paul said.
Yeah, might have known what would happen. I warned Paul about that fellow.
But Paul told us he was a fine, clean lad.
He's a grease monkey, Nicholas, a grease monkey. What could you expect? Why Paul ever permitted Joan ever to step foot out the door with him is beyond me.
But Paul gave us the impression that he went to church and was very nice. He even took Joan to his church. Didn't Paul tell you that, Nicky?
Exactly.
The fellow did that to throw you off, no doubt. A subterfuge on his part. And Joan's, too, probably, to pave the way for this present escapade.
Oh, look here, sir. You don't think Joan would let us down that way, do you?
Oh, Paul. Besides, she's been so happy. Why would she want to do anything to spoil this relationship that she wanted to bring about so much?
Quiet. I've never seen Joan when she seems so well adjusted, so completely in harmony with people and her surroundings.
I gave Paul the answer to that. She's had freedom from parental restraint.
Don't you feel that Paul has been looking after her properly?
Do you? After what's happened?
Well, that's not quite fair to Paul. Regardless of how upset we are over this, and whatever might be the outcome, neither Claudia nor myself will ever feel that it happened through any fault of Paul's.
Oh, no. Why, he's looked after Joan like a mothering hen.
How do you know? You haven't been down here.
Dad, how can you talk like that? When Paul had Joan up at the ranch, I could see the pride he had in her. Every time she did something that showed her improvement, his eyes lighted up with pure joy. No, you'll never make me believe that he hasn't been conscientious.
I don't mean to imply that he didn't do everything with the best of intentions. I'm sure he did. All I say is that he had no right to assume the responsibility for a girl of her age.
But he's been so good for her. We've seen that with our own eyes.
Whatever has happened last night hasn't been good for her.
That's beside the point.
Very well, my dear. She's your child. But I tell you this. If she were mine, I would get her back under my wing as soon as possible.
That would be a terrible slap at Paul. And would probably break Joan's heart.
Well, there's time enough to settle that after we've found her.
Just one more thing, and I'll have done with my say on the matter.
Yes, Dad.
Paul has a lot of theories about children. People without children usually
do. But they're not crazy theories, and Paul's got a wonderful mind.
You didn't hear me out.
I'm sorry, Dad.
What I want to say is that when he gets an idea, he never rests until he explores the idea to the limit. Now, he's had some theory about Joan for a long time, and he couldn't contain himself until he experimented with it. Now, that's all well and good, but I don't believe in experimenting with other people's children. A child belongs with his parents, and if they want to make mistakes, that's something between the parent and child.
But he's transformed Joan from a petulant girl into a happy, loving one. That isn't an experiment. That's an accomplished fact. And I, for one, am grateful to him.
Maybe my ideas are old-fashioned. I don't...
I've got it. Hello? Yes, Paul? Just a few minutes ago. Oh, don't be silly, darling. Well, that's the way we feel, too. Yes. I see. Well, that's something, anyway. You what? Oh, I'm sure, too, Paul. And Nikki feels the same way about it. Yes, we'll wait right here. No, we haven't said a word to anybody. No, just Dad. I agree with you. Well, Nikki and I want you to know we don't blame you one little bit. All right. Goodbye.
Any news of her?
Not really, no.
What do you mean, not really?
Well, he simply called to say that what he went out to see about turned out all right. He feels that he's practically eliminated the possibility of an accident, which is a great relief.
Is it indeed?
Yes, it is, Father Bob.
Personally, I prefer the accident theory myself.
Dad, how can you?
Where's Paul going now?
He didn't say. But he said to hold tight in our faith in Joan. That's what he wanted to impress on us. Hang on and don't lose faith in Joan, no matter what.
Amen. I go for that hook, line, and sinker.
You've just heard Chapter 6, Book 71 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 7, entitled The Return of Joan Roberts Lacey, will come to you next week at this same hour. One Man's Family comes to you from California. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.